بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم باب ما جاء في إذام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the chapter that's on the curry of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What kind of curry did he used to eat? عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نعم الإذام الخل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the best of curries, or if you want to say in Urdu, salan, the best of curries, the best of broth is vinegar. So in this particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about vinegar, and vinegar is considered by the Prophet ﷺ so great because it's such a quick food. It's just a liquid, and you can dip bread in it, and you can get by with eating bread. And so this is why the Prophet ﷺ actually praises how great vinegar is. The Prophet ﷺ also said that it was the idam of the anbiya in one hadith. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that faqr does not enter the house where a bottle of vinegar is kept, or where vinegar is kept. Now, when you read a hadith like this, and it's very difficult to eat straight vinegar with bread, and probably we wouldn't be able to handle it. But it's sunnah to at least keep it in your house. You should just buy a bottle of vinegar and just put it on your shelf. And just keep it there, because the Prophet ﷺ is saying that faqr will not enter the house where vinegar is kept. And it's the idam of all of the prophets as well. So you should keep it in your house because it represents one of the foods of the anbiya. Idam means like broth, or like the liquid with which you eat food. Faqr? Poverty. Okay, so you want to watch out for, you want to be able to keep these types of things in your house. Okay.
قال سمعت نعمان ابن بشير يقول ألستم في طعام وشراب ما شئتم لقد رأيت نبيكم وما يجد من دقري ما يملأ بطنه.
So this particular companion says, verily in this day and age, you people, and he's talking to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, you people, you fill your stomachs. You have the food, you have all the food and all the drink that you wish. But verily, I saw your prophet, he's talking to the companions, I saw your prophet that he did not even find the average date in order to, with which he could fill his stomach. He didn't find enough average dates, not high quality dates, enough of average quality dates in order to fill his stomach. Now, if he didn't have average quality dates, then bil-awla, you know, it's even more so that he didn't have meat to fill his stomach, and he didn't have bread to fill his stomach, because dates were the commonest thing in Medina at that time. So the Prophet ﷺ did not even have dates to fill his stomach. And, you know, this is a criticism, or this is a reminder that this particular narrator is presenting to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that don't forget about your messenger, and what, you know, how he used to be with his food, and what he went through.
عن جابر بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم الإدام نعم الإدام الخل.
So again, the best of the curries, the best of the broth is vinegar. Now, what's interesting about this hadith is that it's repeated a second time in this book, in this chapter. And it's repeated with a different chain of narrators. So when you have a different chain of narrators and you have repetition of something like this, it means that the Prophet ﷺ said it on multiple occasions. So this idea of vinegar being an excellent broth was repeated by the Prophet ﷺ on several occasions.
عن زهدم الزرمي قال كنا عند أبي موسى العشري فأتى بلحم دجاج فتنحى رجل من قوم.
So one time we were sitting with Abu Musa al-Ashari. This is what the narrator says. And somebody brought chicken. Somebody brought a plate of chicken. So one person from among the group, he kind of moved back and sort of showed that he wasn't going to partake in the chicken. So they said, what's up with you? Why aren't you going to eat? Look, this chicken has just been presented before you. Why are you moving away from the food?
فقال إني رأيتها تأكل شيئا نتنا.
He said, verily, I have watched chickens and they eat dirty things. They peck on the ground and they pick up dirty things, and so I'm not going to eat. I decided that فَحَلَفْتُ أَلَّا أَكُلَهَا. So I made an oath that I will not eat chicken because it eats dirty things. قَالْ أُدْنُ. He said, he commanded, come near the plate. فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ الدَّجَّاجِ. Because verily I have seen the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam eating chicken. So this is a beautiful hadith, because this shows you the power of nafs over aql. Now, your mind, when you look at the chicken eat, it looks like it's eating impurities. So in your mind you think, this is an impure animal, I am not going to eat it. Right? With your, you come up with a concept and you say, I swear I'm not going to eat this because it's impure. So that becomes your righteousness, right? So out of righteousness this person said, why should I eat something impure? But then they said to him, well, you better throw that out the window and come back and sit at the plate, because I saw the Prophet on them eat from this, from chicken, and so it's over. There's no more discussion. The Prophet did it, he was the righteous, the most righteous of creation. So once he did it, there's no more room for I think and you think, it's what the Prophet did. So this shows you the power of nafs over aql. So although, even with aql, you can come up with ideas that fit within the framework of the deen. It fits within the framework of the deen that I should not eat this chicken because it's eating impurity, and impurity is not good. But once the Prophet ﷺ comes and you have clear-cut nafs, your aql goes out the window, and your and the nafs takes over. The nafs means a religious a text with a source, meaning the Quran and the Hadith. So when you have a clear-cut source, the Quran and the Hadith, it's over. So that's a very, very important thing to keep in mind. This also highlights the concept of looking for tayyib foods, looking for good foods and wholesome foods. So it's our responsibility to look for wholesome foods, but at the same time, to submit to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An-Safina qal, akaltu ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lahmahu bara. She says that I ate with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bird meat. An-Zahdam al-Jarami qal, kunna inda abi Musa al-Ash'ari. We were sitting with Musa al-Ash'ari. Qal, faqadima ta'amahu. And so he put out his food. Faqadima min ta'amihi lahma dajjaj. And he put out some chicken. Wa fil qawm rajulun min bani tamimillah. And from the people who were sitting in that gathering was a man from tamimillah, which is the tribe of tamimillah. Ahmar, his skin was red. Ka'annahu mawla. It was as if he was a freed slave. Qal. It was said to him, فَلَمْ يَدْنُ. Why don't you come near this plate? فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو مُوسَى أُدْنُ فَإِنِّي قَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَكَلَ مِنْهُ. So the narration is not complete here. The person refrained and he said that I don't want to eat because I see that chicken eats impurities. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, come near the plate, barely, because I have seen the Prophet ﷺ eat from this type of meat. قَالَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ يَأْكُلُ شَيْئًا. So he said, but I have seen the chicken eating something impure. So, فَحَلَفْتُ. And then I swore that I would not eat its meat ever. So, basically, this is the exact same scenario that we saw in the previous hadith. There was a man, and he saw chicken, and he saw it eating impurity, so he made an oath to Allah, Wallahi, I will never eat chicken again because it eats impurity. Then he's sitting at Abu Musa al-Ash'ari with him, and this plate is put before them, and there's chicken on it. So he backs off, because he swore he's not going to eat this. But they explained to him that even though you thought that you were righteous by making this oath, the sunnah of the Prophet was to eat it, and so that overrules. And in this narration, there's another narration in Bukhari that explains that this person was told to actually give a kafara for his oath. So he actually gave a kafara, which means a compensation or expiation for breaking his oath. And Abi Usayd qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qulu zayt wadhinu bihi fa innahu min shajaratin mubarakah. The Prophet said, eat olive oil and oil your hair with it, or oil your heads with it, because verily it is from a blessed tree. So again, some say the tree itself is blessed, and other people say it's actually the soil of the tree that's blessed, because the tree, the place where this tree grows, or essentially grows, is the place where many, many prophets were sent, in this area of Sham. And so some argue that the tree in and of itself is blessed, because Allah has blessed it, or because the soil was blessed, meaning the feet of the prophets, of the different prophets had touched that ground, therefore that the tree grows from a blessed soil. Either way, it's a blessed tree.
عن عمر بن خطاب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل الزيت وادعنوا به فإنه من شجرة مباركة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, eat olive oil and oil your hair with it, because verily it is from a blessed tree.
عن أنس بن مالك قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه الدباء.
Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love squash. Squash used to please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
فَأُوْتِيَ يُطَعَامٍ
أَوْدُعِيَ لَهُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was given some food, or he was invited to a party.
فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَسَبَّأُهُ فَأَضَأَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ بِمَا أَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ.
So one day what actually happened was Anas ibn Malik knew that the Prophet ﷺ used to like squash. So one day the Prophet ﷺ was invited to a party, or some food was put before the Prophet ﷺ, and Anas was with him. So Anas radiallahu anh, knowing the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, and in an aim to please the Prophet ﷺ, started searching the whole broth for squash, and he picked up the pieces and he put them before the Prophet ﷺ, because he knew that the Prophet ﷺ loved to eat squash. So first is look at the desire of Anas to please the Prophet ﷺ. And two, notice that he had to search for the squash. So it implies that there was abundant gravy within the broth, meaning there was a lot of liquid in the broth. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us to put extra liquid in the broth so that we can share it with neighbors. Now that was a time when food was very, very, a rare commodity. And so, of course, you want to give the best that you can. But the point is that they used to increase their broth so that many people can eat, because that increases the barakah of the food. So in this day and age, when we have food, we should also try to share the best of it with others so that we increase the barakah of our food. Now, we'll get to this later, but increasing the barakah of your food is essential in your life. Because when you increase the barakah of your food, you're increasing, one, the amount, but you're decreasing the amount that you have to eat. Because with a smaller amount of food, you become more full. And two, you're increasing the results of your food, which is what is key. You want to be able to worship after you eat your food. You want to be able to pray after you eat your food. You want to be a better servant through eating your food. And so when you increase the barakah of your food, you increase the results of the food, which is your prayer, your Quran, your ibadah, your concentration, your studies, if you're in school, etc. So we'll talk about that, inshallah, in the next chapter, about the barakah in food.
عن حكيم ابن جابر عن أبيه قال دخلت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأيت عنده دباء يقطع.
So I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is what the Sahaba رضي الله عنه says, and I saw that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had squash which was being cut up.
فقلت ما هذا.
So I said, what is this?
قال نكثر به طعامنا.
He said, really, we increase our food with it. Meaning, they place it in their food, and they cook, they use it for eating.
أنه سمع أن this is from Anas ibn Malik. يقول إن خياطا دعا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لطعام صنعه.
There was a tailor who lived in Medina. And this tailor invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over for a meal. And Anas, he happened to go with him.
قال Anas, فذهبت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ذلك الطعام.
So Anas says that I actually went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that food. Meaning I went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guest.
فقرب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خبزا من شعير.
So some bread, some barley bread was placed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Wamarakan fihi dubba wa qadid.
And there was some broth placed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which there was some squash and there was some meat.
قال أنس فرأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتتبع الدباء حوالي القصعة.
Anas says that I watched the Prophet ﷺ at this particular gathering, and he started picking out the squash from the food. He's individually picking out the squash from the food.
فَلَمَّا أَزَلْ أُحِبُّ الدَّبَّاءِ مِنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ.
And then Anas says, and from that day on, that day I saw the Prophet ﷺ picking out the individual pieces of squash, I fell in love with squash and I loved it and from that day on. Meaning, because it was the favorite food of the Prophet ﷺ, I made it my favorite food as well. So this is the truest form of ishq, of the love of the Prophet ﷺ. That because something is favorite to the Prophet ﷺ, it's now my favorite. And if something is not the favorite of the Prophet ﷺ, it's no longer my favorite. It's not farad to sit there and pick out the squash. But this is just the love that he had for the Prophet ﷺ. That he saw the Prophet ﷺ must be picking out the squash. And he knows that this is the Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah is continuously conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always in the presence and always remembering Allah. So when he picks out the squash from the broth, he must be doing it for a reason. And so he follows. Not worrying about the water. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, why are you picking out all the squash? No. He's picking it out, he's eating it, I'm going to pick it out and I'm going to eat it. So that was the truest form of love that existed within the Sahaba. And Aisha, radiallahu anha, qala, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الحلوات والأصل. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to have a love for sweets and for honey. Now at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the sweets used to be actually made out of honey or dates. So the Prophet ﷺ had a love for sweet things.
عن أم سلمة أخبرته أنها قربت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جنبا مشويا.
That someone placed before the Prophet, that she placed before the Prophet roasted meat.
فأكل منه ثم قام إلى الصلاة وما توضأ.
So on this particular occasion, one time some cooked roasted meat was placed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate from it, and then he didn't make wudu. So the reason why this hadith is even brought, and why what the background is that initially in Islam, in the very beginning of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make wudu after he would touch anything that had touched fire, or ate anything is probably a better way to say it. If he ate something that had touched fire, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make wudu. So meat was roasted here. So initially, in the very beginning phases of Islam, when the Prophet ﷺ would eat roasted meat, because fire had touched it, he would make wudu. But later on, that hukum became mansukh. It was abrogated. And so, this hadith is highlighting that the Prophet ﷺ changed, that ruling had become abrogated, because here, the Prophet ﷺ ate from roasted meat, وَمَا تَوَدَّعَ, and he didn't make wudu.
أَنُّ غَيْرَ إِبْنْ شُعْبَ قَالْ جِفْتُ مَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ فَأُوْتِيَ بِزَنْبٍ مَشْوِيٍ.
I was a guest of the Prophet ﷺ one day, and some roasted meat was brought.
ثُمَّ أَخَذَتْ شَفْرَ.
Then the Prophet ﷺ took a knife.
فَجَعَلَ يَخُزُّ.
So the Prophet ﷺ started cutting.
فَهَزَّنِي بِهَا مِنْهُ.
And so he also cut me a piece.
قَالَ فَجَاءَ بِلَال.
Then Bilal came.
يُؤَذِّنُهُ.
And started making adhan.
بِالصَّلَاةِ.
For salah.
فَأَلْقَ السَّفْرَ.
So the Prophet said, he dropped the knife.
فَقَالَ مَا لَهُ.
What's up with him? Why is he calling the adhan in the middle of eating?
طُرِّبَتْ يَدَا.
May his hands be, may his hands perish.
قَالَ وَكَانَ شَارِبُ.
So that's part of the hadith. Now what happened actually was the Prophet ﷺ was eating, and while he was eating, and while a group of people were eating, the adhan was called. And the Prophet ﷺ actually warns him, in a harsh way, but Bilal was being warned, that you shouldn't call the adhan while people are eating. So in the middle of something where people are actively engaged, which can distract from salat. Now if there's this food, and you're very hungry, and you haven't eaten regularly, and all of a sudden, just when you're about to eat, the adhan is called, then when you pray, it could potentially be a distraction in salah. Not necessarily for the Prophet ﷺ, but as a lesson to the ummah. That when food is present on a table, you should not, you should, and you're hungry, you should finish the food before you go and pray your salah, because you don't want to be thinking about the food in the middle of the salah. You want to have your mind focused on the salah. And so this is a lesson for the whole ummah, that you want to watch out for things that will distract you from the salah. وَكَانَ شَارِبُهُ قَدْ وَفَى. And actually, the mustache of Mughayrah had actually become long. This is kind of a separate part of the hadith. Had actually become long. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَقُصُّهُ لَكَ عَلَى سِوَاكَ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I will cut it for you according to the siwak. Meaning it's sunnah, the mustache of Mughayrah radiallahu anhu had become long, and it's sunnah to keep it short. And so this is just highlighting the sunnah of keeping the mustache short. عن أبي هريرة قال أوتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلحم فرفع إليه ذراع. So the Prophet ﷺ was brought meat, and in particular, the hind leg of the meat was handed to the Prophet ﷺ. And this was the most beloved portion of the animal to the Prophet ﷺ. He loved to eat from the ذراع, from the hind, from the front, from the foreleg of the animal. وكان تعجبه. And he used to like it. فَنَحَشَ مِنْهَا. And so the Prophet ﷺ began tearing it with his teeth. So in this particular hadith, he doesn't use a knife. And in the previous hadith, he did use a knife. Now, the reason why it's kind of important is that because both in Bayhaqi and Abu Dawood, there's a prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ from using knives. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited in both Bayhaqi and Abu Dawood from using knives to cut meat. And so there's a discussion as to whether a knife is permissible at all or not. And the answer is that it's okay when it's necessary, but if you can eat directly with your mouth by tearing, then that's better. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did in this particular occasion. And Masood, رضي الله عنه, قال, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه الذراع. قال, وصم في ذراع. وكان يرى أن اليهود سموه. So actually, this is a hadith from Masood radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ used to love the ذراع. Now, after the conquest of Khaybar, which is one of the historical battles of Islam after the Hijrah, when the Jews were conquered, there was a Jewish woman who learned that the Prophet ﷺ used to love the foreleg of the animal. So what she did was she prepared a piece of it, and she actually poisoned the meat. Okay, that's what this hadith is referring to. وَسَمَّهُ. She poisoned it. وَسَمَّ فِي ذِرَاسَ. The meat was poisoned. Then she took the meat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba were sitting with him, and they began to eat. They accepted the gift, and they began to eat. Right when the Prophet sallallahu took his first bite, Jibra'il alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu and told him that the meat was poisoned. And in fact, in another narration, the meat itself told the Prophet ﷺ that I am poisoned. The Prophet ﷺ immediately spat it, he spit the meat out, and he stopped the Sahaba from eating. The Prophet ﷺ, he became sick after that, but he recovered. So he called the woman, and he asked, did you do this? And she admitted, yes, that I did this act. So he pardoned her, and he let her go. Later on, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who became sick from the meat, he died. And when he died, she was called back, and then she was killed in return for committing that murder. Now, in this particular riwayah, Masood radiallahu anhu says, I'm not sure if it was a Jew, right? He says that كان يرى, it was suspected that it was a Jew. But it's very clear in other hadith that this was a Jewish woman who actually poisoned the meat. And so this is one of the instances. It highlights both the Prophet's love for the meat and one of the miracles of the Prophet, and the fact that the angel Jibreel came and told him that this meat had been poisoned. And Abi Ubaid قال تبخت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قدرا وقد كان يعجبه الذراع. So this particular companion says that I prepared for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم a pot, and he used to love the zira, the foreleg. فَنَعَوَلْتُهُ الزِرَى. So I presented the Prophet ﷺ the piece of meat that he liked, the foreleg. قال نَعَوَلْنِي الزِرَى. So then the Prophet ﷺ finished that, or ate from that, and then he asked for another one. He said, give me another foreleg. So this particular companion gave another foreleg.
ثُمَّ قَالْ نَوَلْنِيَ الذِّرَاعَ.
So then the Prophet ﷺ again said, give me another foreleg. Now, animals only have two forelegs, and she only prepared one animal. So she says to the Prophet, or he says to the Prophet ﷺ,
يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَمْ نِشَّرَ مِنْ ذِرَاعَ
وَكَمْ نِشَّى مِنْ ذِرَاعَ. How many forelegs does the animal have?
فقال والذي نفسي بيدي,
verily by the one whose soul my, verily by the one in whose hand lies my soul,
لو سكت لناولتني الذراع ما دعوت.
If you would have remained quiet and put your intellect behind what I am requesting of you, then you would have been serving me hind legs from that pot until I stopped asking. Meaning this was one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ. He's saying that this pot would have continuously produced forelegs, despite the animal having only two. As long as I would have kept asking, you would have been able to find another foreleg in that foreleg in that pot. But because you asked this question, now that's not the case. So again, someone putting their mind before what the Prophet ﷺ is doing. When the Prophet ﷺ commands, you get up and do it. You just go and do it. It doesn't matter if there's nothing there. You just get up and you do it. And then if there's nothing there, that's fine. But that's the result of deep ittiba, of deep following. And so this is the lesson that the Prophet ﷺ happened to teach on that particular moment. An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat ma kanat al-zira ahabbu al-lahm ila Rasulullah ﷺ walakinhu kana la yajidu al-lahm illa ghibba. Aisha radiallahu anha says the Prophet ﷺ really didn't have zira as the most favorite part of the animal, except that he used to find it rarely. وَكَانَ يَعْجِلُ إِلَيْهَا لِأَنَّهَا أَعْجَلُهَا نُضْجًا. So the reason why the Prophet ﷺ used to eat it is because it was the most quickly cooked. That's basically what Aisha radiallahu anha has to say. There was no particular love for one piece of meat over another, but because this piece of meat was quickly cooked, meaning once meat was present, it was quickly prepared, this is why the Prophet ﷺ had a preference for this particular type of meat. سمعت عبد الله ابن جعفر يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أطيب اللحم لحم الظهر. The Prophet ﷺ said the best of the meat is the meat of the back. So another type of meat that the Prophet ﷺ had a preference for. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نعم الإدام الخل. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of broth is vinegar. عن أم هاني قالت دخل علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال إنك شيء. أم هاني says that the Prophet ﷺ, he entered the house and he said, do you have any food? فقلت لا إلا خبزا يابسا وخل. She said, no, I don't have any food except that I have some dry bread and some vinegar. قال هاتي. He said, bring it to me. فأكفروا بيت ما أكفروا بيت من أجل فيه خل. That no house which has vinegar in it can be said that there's nothing in the house. Meaning, you can't say that there's nothing in the house when there's vinegar, because no house with vinegar will show faqr or poverty. عن أبي موسى العشري رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the grace of Aisha over all other women, the superiority of Aisha over all other women is like the superiority of thareed over all other foods. Thareed is like you take a broth and you take pieces of bread and you throw them in the broth. So it's like a soup with bread in it. And then you eat the pieces of bread as they're soaked in that soup. That's called thareed. So in this particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is explicating how great this particular food is, and that equivalent to the grace of Aisha radiallahu anha over all other women is this food over all other types of food. Now, in many hadith, the Prophet ﷺ speaks of different women. For example, Fatima radiallahu anha, or Khadija radiallahu anha, etc. And all of these women had their own place. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a special place in that the Quran was revealed on her lap, in essence. And Khadija radiallahu anha, she had her special place, and that she was the first to accept Islam, and she supported it in such an enormous way. And, you know, Fatima radiallahu anha, she had her own special place, and that she was the daughter of the Prophet, and she will be the queen of the women in Jannah. So the leader of the women in Jannah. So each of these women that the Prophet praises in the hadith, they each have their independent special place. This doesn't downgrade any other woman of the ones that the Prophet pleased or mentioned with, you know, such bashara, with such glad tidings. Sami'tu Anas ibn Malik yaqul, I heard Anas radiallahu anhu say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَضْلُ عَيْشَ عَلَى النِّسَائِكَ فَضْلُ الْفَرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. Again, same hadith. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فودأ من أكل ثور أقط. Abu Huraira says that I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم make wudu after eating cheese. Now cheese happened to be cooked on fire. So this was early in Islam. ثم رآه أكل من كفي شاتن ثم صلى ولم يتودأ. So then at a later time he saw that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ate from meat, cooked meat, but he didn't make wudu. And Anas ibn Malik called, أولم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على سفية بتمر وسويق. So the Prophet ﷺ had a walima when he married Safiya. And the walima consisted of dates and a barley drink. Now, Safiya was actually from Jewish offspring. And she was from the offspring of the line of Harun alayhi salam. In the 7th year after the Hijrah, after Khaybar, she was actually bought as a slave. And the Prophet ﷺ, he freed her and then he married her. And he once said to her that your grandfather, meaning Harun alayhi salam, was a prophet, and your uncle was, meaning Musa alayhi salam, was a prophet, and your husband, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, is a prophet. And here you note the simplicity of his walima. He just did the walima wherever he was. They were actually returning from Khaybar when the walima was held. And note the simplicity of the walima. I mean, nowadays we have a walima, you have to have a big hall. And you spend 2 months finding the proper hall. And then you have to have this type of dressing on the table. And you have to hand out this kind of gift after the wedding. And you have to have such and such food, and you have to have such and such drink, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And it's, you've complicated it so much. Yet look how simple the walima of the Prophet ﷺ was. And it was just simply dates and some barley drink, and it was breakfast. And that was it. And I mean, that's the simplicity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Salma, An al-Hasan, Ibn Ali, wa Ibn Abbas, wa Ibn Ja'far, atawha. So three people came to Salma, radiallahu anha. Hasan, who was the son of Ali, and Ibn Abbas and Ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhum. They came to Salma and they said, فَقَالُوا لَهَا إِسْنَعِي لَنَا طَعَامًا مِمَّا كَانَ يُعْجِبُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So make us food like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat dirt when he was alive. فَقَالَتْ يَا بُنَيَّ. She said, oh my children, لَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْيَوْمِ. You won't like it in these days. Meaning you're used to eating good tasting food, and you're not going to like this kind of food that the Prophet ﷺ used to eat. So I'm not going to make it. Bala isna'i mana. They said, well, no, go ahead and make it for us. Qala faqamat faakhadat shay'an min ash-sha'ir. So she stood up and she took some barley. Fatahanatu. And so she ground it. ثُمَّ جَعَلَتُهُ فِي قَدْرٍ. Then she put it in a pot. وَصَبَّتْ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الزَّيْتِ. And she put a little bit of oil on it. وَدَقَّتْ فُنْفُلْ. And she put some funful and some tawabil, some spices on it. فَقَرَّبْتُهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. And so she put it, she actually put it before them. فَقَالَتْ. And she said, هَذَا مِمَّا كَانَ يُعْجِبُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. وَيُحْسَنُ أَكْلُهُ. That this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to eat, and this is what he used to enjoy. This is what he used to please him, and what he used to eat. So this was the change that occurred after the Prophet ﷺ. That the food that even the next generation ate was much, much superior to the food that the generation of the Prophet ﷺ used to eat.
عن جابر بن عبد الله قال أتانا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في منزلنا. The Prophet said, he came to our house. فذبحنا له شاة فقال كأنهم علموا أننا نحب اللحم. وفي الحديث قصة.
Okay, so in this particular hadith, this is related by Jabir ibn Abdullah. This hadith has a very, very interesting historical background. And that is that after the battle of the ditch, which occurred, you know, what, five or six after the Hijrah, the battle of the ditch was one of the most difficult battles on the Ummah, in the sense that all of the enemies of Islam, they surrounded Medina. And in order to keep them out of Medina, the Prophet ﷺ dug a huge ditch around Medina. So it was sort of like the first trench warfare. And when they did this, it was a very, very difficult time on the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, see, they were locked in and they didn't even have food. They had to fight the jihad. They were busy preparing, busy digging. They were just undergoing extreme difficulty. In fact, this is the occasion on which one man once came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is so difficult on me. This whole battle and the whole circumstances here are so difficult on me that I am so hungry that I had to tie a stone to my stomach because my body is shaking from hunger and that's the only way I can remain still. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say to him on that occasion? Nothing. The Prophet ﷺ lifted up his shirt and he had two stones tied to his stomach. So this was the difficulty that they were undergoing at that particular moment. Now after the heat of the battle, when people are starving, one of the Sahaba, who happened to be Jabir, who narrates this hadith, saw the starvation on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he couldn't take it. He could not take that look on the face of the Prophet. Now imagine, this is the Prophet who did not eat for 2 days consecutively, but it had gotten to such an extreme that he could not take that look on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in his house, he had an animal and some bread. So he went to his wife in this extreme state of hunger. And he said to her, prepare what little food we have left. He didn't keep it for himself. He didn't keep it for his family. He didn't invite his relatives. No, the Prophet ﷺ came first. And so he went to his wife and he said, prepare that food. And then he went to the Prophet ﷺ. And he looked at the face of the Prophet ﷺ again, and he went up to the ear of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, come to my house, I've prepared some food for you. So the Prophet ﷺ, at that instant, said to the 1,000 troops, hungry troops who have not eaten for days, Jabir is inviting everybody for food. So Jabir looked at the Prophet ﷺ, I only have one animal and this much bread. How can the Prophet ﷺ invite 1,000 people over to my house for food? And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, don't take the food out of the pot. And don't start to make the dough into bread until I come. Then the Prophet ﷺ came and he made a dua and he blew on the bread and he blew on the food, and then that food sufficed all 1,000 hungry soldiers who had not eaten for days, and food was still left over after that particular incident. And then as a joke, the Prophet ﷺ says here, and it's so beautiful, كَأَنَّهُمْ عَلِمُوا. So he says, it's as if you guys knew that we love to eat meat. Thank you for the invitation. You know, it's as if you knew that we all like to eat meat. So this was just the beauty in the way that the Prophet ﷺ phrases this, but it just shows you one very important factor. And that is, the Prophet ﷺ comes first. I mean, come on, in this day and age, if you haven't eaten lunch, okay, and it's late, and you have food enough for yourself, you're not going to give it to anybody else. You're not going to come and tell anybody. You're going to go in a corner and eat it. Because you don't have enough for everybody. And Jabir, in this state, where he is even experiencing extreme difficulty himself, his family is starving, he knows the state of the Sahaba, he knows that's probably his last animal. If he cuts that one, who knows what else is left. But he couldn't take it. He had too much love. I mean, well, his love blinded him. He had just too much love for the Prophet. He could not take that look. I mean, it had gone to an extreme that there is no way I can breathe another moment seeing this look on the face of the Prophet. And it was because of this sacrifice that Allah put barakah in that food. And look at the result. See, this is the secret of barakah. When you fall in love with the Prophet ﷺ, and when you follow the Prophet ﷺ, and when you put preference over the Prophet, preference over everything else the Prophet ﷺ, you enter a new dimension. He entered a new dimension. Now, even if you would have made a huge plan to get food, where would that food come from? But no. He just followed what he had to do. He followed his love of the Prophet ﷺ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in what he was doing. And this is what I mean by following the Prophet ﷺ brings a degree of barakah into your life, and into your da'wah, and into your organization, and into your effort that nothing else in the world can. No technology in the world can match it. What the barakah of the Prophet ﷺ carries, and the weight and the power within it, is the secret of his deen. And that's why we've left. But that was our power. That was our weapon. That doesn't mean that you need the means of the world. Obviously, we spoke when we talked about armor. But the Prophet ﷺ wore two layers of armor for the Battle of Uhud. But what it does imply is that you don't sacrifice the sunnah for the sake of technology. You know, we are people who believe in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes through following the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Jabir qala, kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ana ma'ahu, fadakhala ala imra'a. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he visited a woman from the Ansar. فَذَبَحَتْ لَهُ شَاءٍ. So she sacrificed an animal for him. فَأَقَلَ مِنْهُ. So he ate from it. فَأَتَتْهُ بِكِنَاءٍ. And a tray of dates was brought to him. فَأَقَلَ مِنْهُ. And he ate from it. ثُمَّ تَوَدَّأَ لِظُهَرٍ. Then he made wudu for Zuhar. وَصَلَّى. ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ. Then he returned to the house. فَأَتَتْهُ فَأَتَتْهُ بِأُلَالَةٍ مِنْ أُلَالَةِ الشَّاءِ. And so she brought him the remainder of the sheep. فَأَقَلَ ثُمَّ صَلَّى الْأَصْرَ. And then he ate and then he prayed asr. وَلَمْ يَتَوَدَّ. So again, the Prophet is not making wudu in the first instance for Zuhar because of the meat, because then he ate the meat and then he didn't make wudu for asr. So meaning wudu is not necessary after you eat something cooked on fire.
عن أم منذر قالت دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما هو علي ولنا دوال.
So Ali and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to a particular woman's house, and she had دوال معلقة, hanging dates. She had dates hanging from the ceiling of her house.
قالت فجعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل وعلي معه.
And so the Prophet ﷺ, he actually began eating the dates, and Ali radiallahu anhu also started eating with him.
فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِعَلِي مَهْ.
So the Prophet ﷺ said to Ali, مَهْ, don't eat these. Stop what you're doing.
يَا Ali, فَإِنَّكَ نَاقِتٌ.
Because verily you are recovering from an illness. And it's not good to eat dates when you are recovering from an illness.
قالت فجعل علي والنبي فجلس علي والنبي يأكل.
And so Ali sat down and the Prophet ﷺ continued to eat. Notice the obedience of Ali رضي الله عنه to the command of the Prophet
ﷺ. قالت فجعلت لهم سلقا وشعير.
And so I put some beets and some bread before them.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي من هذا فأصب.
The Prophet ﷺ said, go ahead and partake from this.
فَإِنَّ هَذَا أَوْفَقَ لَكَ.
And verily this is muwafiq for you. This is appropriate for you. Now on this particular occasion, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited Ali from doing something which was a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So this highlights a very important principle. It's sunnah to eat dates. The Prophet ﷺ had a very, very special place in his heart for dates. But the Prophet ﷺ on this particular occasion stopped Ali from doing it. Why? Because Ali was recovering from illness. So in certain instances, you may have to leave the sunnah for an external factor. And in this particular case, it was a sickness.
عن عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتيني فيقول أعندك غدا.
The Prophet ﷺ used to come to the house and he used to say, do you have any food in the house?
فأقول لا.
And I used to say no.
فقيل إني صائم.
So he used to say, well then I'm fasting.
فَقَالَتْ فَأَتَانِي يَوْمًا.
So one day the Prophet ﷺ, he came to the house of Aisha رضي الله عنها.
فَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّهُ أُهْدِيَتْ لَنَا حَدِيَّةً.
So she said that verily somebody has brought us a gift.
قَالَ وَمَا هِيَ.
So he said, what is it?
قَالَتْ حَيْثٌ.
So he said, the Aisha radiallahu anha said it's a cake which is made with dates, with some date in it. قال أما إني أصبحت صائما. Well, he said, well, I actually woke up this morning with the intention of fasting. قال ثم أكل. But then he actually went ahead and ate. And so there's a debate as to a couple things in this particular hadith. The first is that the Prophet ﷺ used to walk in the middle of the day when, you know, early in the day, and ask if there was any food, and he was told no. At that point he would say, well, then I'm fasting. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, and according to Imam Shafi'i, you can make the sunnah for a nafl, for an supererogatory fast up until zawal. But according to Imam Malik, you can't. You have to make it the night before. So this is one principle that's highlighted in this hadith. The second is Imam Shafi'i says that it's okay to break your nafl fast. So if you have an excuse, for example, food comes, you have a choice of breaking it because it's supererogatory. If you want to do it, you can. If you want to break it, you can. But according to the Hanafi method, because of the ayah, لا تبطلوا أعمالكم, do not break your deeds, that you must do qada. And actually Imam Abu Hanifa takes proof from another hadith in which Aisha radiallahu anha is told to break her fast for some particular reason, and then also told to make it up at another point. So it's just some of the varying views of the different madahib concerning this issue. And Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Salam قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ كسرة من خبز الشعير. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took a piece of bread ووضع عليها التمر, and he put a piece of date in it. وقال هذا إدامه هذا هذه إدامه هذه وأكله. And he said that this is the broth for this, meaning he said these two things go together, and then he went ahead and ate the date sandwich. عن أنس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعجبه الثقل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعجبه الثقل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to love to eat the remnant, the remainder, the leftover food. قال عبد الله يعني ما بقي من الطعام, and meaning what remained from food. So this is a sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we should actually understand this. You know, what happens is after you serve at a party or after you have food in a pot, we eat the food from the pot, but then we leave all the excess food within the pot and we just throw it away. Or we, you know, we don't worry about cleaning up the pot. But one of the most favorite foods of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was to eat the remainder from the pot. And there was special barakah in that food. So again, we should make it a habit that when we're eating, that we clean off the pot completely. And this was one of the things that was beloved to the Prophet ﷺ.